Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hey, everybody. It's podcast time again. And it's podcast times two. The last couple of podcasts have been just me, because Tom thought going to a soccer game was more important than spending time with you. His prerogative. But he's...
Wow.
He's crawled back into the studio again today, and he's willing to face the wrath and the ire of all of his listeners for deserting them in their moment of need when the market was crashing and Tom was, you know, it was kind of like Nero. He was fiddling
minus
the fiddling. He was fiddling around, and he goes to the game, and his team doesn't even win.
No, they did.
They do that silly thing called...
Yeah.
What kind of sport ends without a win? What? This is America. We win or we lose.
It's not an American sport, dude.
Damn it. All right. Well, that messes everything up for me then. Welcome to our little get-together, though. This is the weekday version of Talking Real Money, where we pick a topic that we think you might be interested in, and we waste some time discussing it.
That is so well put.
Here we go.
That was really good, man. You're the hype master today. I'll tell you what. I'm tuning in for that one.
You want to listen to two guys ramble on about nothing? Listen to Talking Real Money.
I forgot to add the operative word, two old guys.
Old guys. Okay. Two old senile guys.
Closer to that.
Yes. There's this thing, and you're probably hearing about it. Yeah. You might be hearing about it from, you generally hear about this from people who have an ox to gore, an axe to grind, a vested interest in getting you a little confused. When the markets go down or have gone down, have gone. God,
past tense. It's going to be bad, man. The whipping was about to begin. You feel better?
Down, done. Okay, I'm better now. People talk about retiring in this down market, and they talk about what is called the sequence of return risk. And you listen, you go, oh my gosh.
That's me.
The sequence of return risk. I'm retiring in a bear market. What's it going to do to me? Well, okay. We've talked about taking money out a lot. And if you have the right strategy for taking money out of your IRA, you don't need to worry about sequence of return risk. But Tom, let's talk about what that means and then why you don't need to concern yourself with it like so many say you do.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's come up a bit lately because we've had this unusual year where both stocks and bonds have gone down. Right? I mean, intermediate term government bonds
and,
still down.
And crypto, too.
Shockingly. Intermediate term government bonds still down about 10% year to date. A globally diversified stock portfolio is down about 13%, whereas the S&P 500 is still down around 20%, which gets more attention, although it shouldn't. But what should you be worried about this? This is a real thing, et cetera, et cetera. And what you said, Don, is partially correct. For example, if you retired in, let's just say, 1972, and then you came into a few very bad years in the market, and you were not properly balanced, by the way, between stocks and bonds. This is another thing to think about. So many of your portfolios, the people listening to us right now, have been basically in what? Either the S&P 500 or technology stocks. And what's happened to that? This is why we've argued for decades to be diversified and have the right balance between stocks and bonds. You would have been okay, by the way, in 73, 74. You would have been okay in 2000, 2001. You would have been okay 2008, 2009. But most of the people that show the sequence of returns risk, as you said, Don, are trying to sell something. They generally show you, oh, well, if you retire and then we go into a 4 or 5 year bear market, you could be in a bad way. Well, yeah, you could if you retired today and you had a 4 year bear market and you're drawing on the money and you can't adjust how much you're drawing. Sometimes I do feel bad when I tell people, just go ahead and take the money out, wait on Social Security. There may be a time to change that strategy. But let's talk about this in a more general sense. Number one, looking back about 100 years now, and you've gone back further, I know, but with good data going back to the mid-1920s, stocks declined one out of about every 4 years. That's about what happens, right? So 2020...
It's very, very close to the exact
number. 2022, maybe that year. Because we haven't had one in a long time where the whole year it's been down. Even 2020, where, as you pointed out in the recent podcast, the stocks went down 30% in like a month and then straight back up. And there's some people, by the way, that think that will happen again here this year. Nobody knows that. But stocks do have these years of decline. The idea generally then is to have ballast with bonds. And again, that has not helped you this year, right? Because we haven't had that ballast. But if you have a properly designed retirement plan, which includes balance between stocks and bonds, and realistic planning numbers, because many people say, well, if I could just make 7 or 8% a year, it's not a problem. Making 7 or 8% a year is difficult for most people. Most, not all, but not easy.
It's not even a matter of difficulty. It's a matter of, we're talking about likely scenarios. And what you have to do is shift the odds. I don't want to sound like
movie,
but shift the odds. May the odds ever be in your favor.
And I was getting to that. Because the planning software that we use, for example, you can plug in, you can look at historical numbers and say, how would my portfolio done using historical returns? The software writers have decided the future is not as bright as the past, and they actually decrease the returns by about 2% a year, which sometimes I think is unrealistically harsh. But if you run the plan that way, then it's really hard to break it by retiring and to a downed market. Do you get me? In other words, people that retire last year or this year or soon think, well, I can't do it. No, that is very short-term thinking. Again, a robust plan should mean you're okay and don't get caught up in hype, because I think a lot of this is hyperbole that people are using to sell you a product or sell you something to make you make a change from where you are currently. So sequence of return risk is a real thing. But I don't think it's really as big a deal as people want to make it. I'll put it that way.
Really, what it boils down to is if you have a reasonable plan and a reasonable rate of withdrawal, which is where that 4% rule comes in, or has come in for so long, and it's still, in my opinion, and based on all the numbers I've seen, the 4% rule still has some validity. It still is a reasonable rule of thumb kind of number. So if you follow the 4% rule, and I'm not the only one who's run these numbers, they've been run by all kinds of CFAs and CFPs all over the country, all over the world, it's almost impossible to find a period over which you would have run out of money using the 4% rule. Now, in some scenarios, but you see, the problem is you don't know in advance which one you're going to be in the future. In some scenarios, you would have had, at 4%, you would have ended up with 6-7 times your money when you die at 90 or something. In other scenarios, you would have ended up with, you know, less than you started with, maybe. But it's almost impossible to find a scenario where you would have run out of money before you ran out of life. What happens is that people who sell insurance products particularly use scare tactics. And one of their favorite scare tactics in this vein is the lie of the 20-year market loss. This is a lie. And Mark Hulbert has addressed this. We've addressed this. Lots of people have addressed this. They say, well, yeah, but from 1929 to 1949, yeah, it took you till the 50s to break even. You lost money. No, you didn't, or you wouldn't have. Because one, you would have had to invest all your money at the very top. And two, you would have had to spend all your dividends along the way.
Yeah, they don't include dividends on that calculation, correct?
Correct. Yeah,
which is silly. I mean, again, you this is something you've talked about a lot more than I have, which I think is right. In all of our lives, we should be willing to be flexible. We should be willing to pay ourselves a little bit less because of the circumstance. And that's why, by the way, I like the 5% variable withdrawal strategy, where you have a great year like 2021. Hey, you live it up. You take everybody on a big trip, et cetera, et cetera. You have a not so great trip in 2022. they all come over and use the above ground pool. I mean, so you have a variability in what you do from a lifestyle standpoint, which most people can squeeze one thing one way or another to make that work. And by the way, here's the other part of all of this, all of it when it comes to planning, no one knows the correct plan until you're gone.
Yeah, you never know what the future is until the future has already happened.
Sorry. I mean, when you and I aren't here, then we'll know whether or not our withdrawal strategy was right or not, right?
Right.
That was genius, huh?
And,
or not.
And the reason I'm a big proponent of flexibility is because that's the way we've lived our whole life. Come on. How many people? It's rare. It does happen, but it's rare. How many people have had a static, just perfectly increasing with the rate of inflation income stream with no surprises on the debit side of the ledger for their entire life? How many? Not many.
Or how many of you have had, quote unquote, a normal life? I mean, there really is no normal life. There's just life.
I think abnormal is normal.
Abby, normal, would argue with
abnormal
you.
Abnormal is normal.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Now he's referencing young Frankenstein.
Thank you for that. Anyway,
I know the reference.
I'm going to say it here. I'll say it again. Your retirement should be about you, not about Mr. Stock Market or Mr. Bond Market. Sorry.
Now, I have a question,
yeah.
And I'm not sure I know what we're going to do with this question because I've just read it for the very first time.
Oh, boy.
It's a question that came in from Talking Real Money, typed in, and it has to do with a 401k. So I'll just read you the question. My American Airlines 401k uses BlackRock Institutional Trust Company to run a collective investment trust that uses a passive index approach but may use futures contracts and other things such as swaps. Wait a minute. It ain't passive if you're using futures contracts and swaps. Anyway, I've noticed that these indexes, with only a 5-year history, show some significant underperformance of the index of up to 2%, and any time they meet or exceed the benchmarks, they were barely meeting it, and it was only on one or two of the 8 funds. Also recently, the last year's performance in things such as small cap value and large cap value are underperforming Vanguard indexes by 2 to 5%. Hmm. What am I really getting here, and should I roll out of these as it appears I'm not getting plain vanilla indexing?
Well, it is a great question because we can't get under the hood very specifically on this. If it sounds like they're getting a little bit pregnant here. I mean, they're doing some sort of indexing and then they're using swap.
Yeah.
This is kind of an odd setup. And it sounds like it's a pooled investment. Everybody puts their money in one. I mean, not unlike, I guess, a mutual fund or exchange traded fund. Don and I have talked about this a lot. Trust me. Because when we manage money for other people, we use 23 funds. Sometimes Don and I think that's too many.
Too many.
It includes yes. things like momentum. It includes things mm-hmm. like quality. It includes things like a lot of factors. Conversely, as you know, on our website, we give you 3 funds.
No factors.
And I'm just guessing here that in 20 years, you might go look at the 3 funds versus all the work that we do for our clients. There might not be that much difference. There probably some, but might not be that much. So I generally err on the side of simplicity because if it just, number one, you know what you've got, right? Number two, mm-hmm. you're generally going to pay less if it's just index funds than the super whatever thing they're doing. And number three, you're going to feel better because it sounds like you're a person who's going to compare that performance to whatever. So I'd probably err on that side.
What I don't understand is someone submitted the American Airlines 401k plan to our website, 401411.com.
Maybe old, though. Maybe old.
Yeah, I don't know if this is old or not, but it may be that you have a self-chosen choice. And that's often the case where you can have a collective or you can create your own portfolio.
Yep.
You might want to check with HR and see if you can't, because it appears to me that they have some conventional index funds, large cap value, small cap growth, small cap value, international, emerging markets. They have all of these funds that are rare to find in a 401k. The only thing that they don't have that we'd like to see is some international small cap.
Which is almost never, you never see that in a 401k. Yep.
Yeah, and REITs. That's really the only thing that the American Airlines plan that we had submitted to us at some point showed. So you might want to see if that plan is available to you. And if you want, and it's available and you can move to it, go to 401411.com and look at the American Airlines plan there to help you figure out how to balance that out based on what we believe.
Or send them to us. We look at those options all the time and help you make some choices that may be better. Yeah, I think that's a great, I think that's good advice.
Sure, and if you go to vestry.com, you can set up an appointment with one of our advisors, and they'll help you figure all this out. It's easy.
That's it? No more questions?
Free. Do you want
Well, I mean, we had one. I'll bring it up. We had a guy who wrote us and said, what about the work of Robert Kiyosaki?
All right, hold on.
Now my phone.
There's somebody calling you.
I know, I'm a very popular man.
Yeah, but that, see, you're getting way out of order.
Okay. I'm out of order.
But go ahead.
I'm out
go
of
ahead.
Order.
Yeah.
You're out of order. No, I mean, just up because I find these things fascinating.
What do you think of Robert Kiyosaki?
Well, okay, so I have some history.
Rich dad, you know, poor dad.
We interviewed him on the old Sound Investing. I interviewed him on Talking Real Money on the TV show, which you may not know.
Wait, there was no Talking Real Money TV
pardon
show. Talking Real Money podcast.
Serious Money. Pardon me. Serious Money on PBS.
Serious
Thank
Money.
You. So
yeah, that was back in the dark ages of real television.
And he came to town doing his seminars, whatever you want to call them. He had run newspaper ads that said, your financial future guaranteed. This is no lie. Guaranteed. And I had the paper with me. I had a paper.
Like that old paper.
I got it back. And I had a paper like this, and I had it on the set.
This is not video.
Oh,
that
sorry.
Was just a sound effect.
Okay. I had it on the set, and we started talking about this and this and this, and here's what I did, and we'll talk about what he does in a minute. And I said, well, can you tell people that their financial future is guaranteed? And he said, well, no. I said, then why are you running ads that say that? I pulled it out and showed it to him. And he actually handled it pretty well. He's like, well, of course, I don't write that stuff. The newsletter, blah, 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 blah. It took no responsibility for it. But people come to his class and think that's what's going to happen. And here's what his pitch is. His pitch is buying and selling real estate. And until you go through his program, he doesn't tell you how you're going to get rich doing it, of course, because you got to pay a lot of money to do that. Now, Don and I have talked about this ad nauseum. We are and have been for many decades, small business owners. We've run a variety of small businesses, some that have done well, some that haven't done well, frankly. I'm a believer in small business. If you want to be a small business owner, which there's risk to that, there's also a lot of work to it. My wife just left the house, finally got up after being out at a thing till midnight. There's a lot of work that comes with being a, it's not easy. And he makes it sound like, well, you just do my real estate thing. That's number one. Number two, I just saw a video, someone just sent it to me, where his wife was saying, well, 401ks are stupid. No reason ever to put money in those. No one ever makes any money in those, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's nonsense. People retire every day because we see them every day. They've been savers. They've done it properly, and they retire, and they live off that money. So that is a horribly poor piece of information that she and Mr. Kiyosaki put out there. So, no, I don't like his advice. No, I wouldn't follow it. But I am a believer in, if you want to be in small business, real estate, I guess, could be as good as anything else, because if you own a variety of homes, you collect the rents, et cetera, it probably works if you're willing to do it as a business. Sure. That I'll concede.
And how does Robert Kiyosaki make all his
money? Yeah. Does he make it in real estate, or does he actually make it selling his books and his classes?
He makes it. No, it's the coaching.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
That's like $4,000 a year.
Yeah. Okay.
And you don't even get coached by him. You get coached by one of his coaches who's working for him. And it's,
by the way, I've got an offer here. I will coach you as a soccer referee for $4,000 a year. I'll come to your games. I'll watch them. I'll tell you what you did right and wrong. $4,000.
And, wait, no, you'll hire your minions to do it. You got to have a multiplier factor. It just doesn't work.
I can only take 8 cases on. I won't make enough money.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send my son, who's very critical of referees anyway.
I guarantee you, if you sign up, he even has a program, I think, that's up to $60,000.
Oh, to be
for mentorship.
To be one of those real flippers, get out there and really.
Yeah. But I'm pretty confident that if you talk to Kiyosaki at all, it's for no more than a few minutes, because his time is much.
And by the way, I'll make you another guarantee on that, on his program, etc. Here's a guarantee: it will get harder now because home prices have been basically sort of going up, like buying stocks. I just bought a few stocks; they went up. Yeah, I just bought a few homes; they went up. Anyway, for a variety of reasons, I don't think real estate's going to be as easy in the next 10 years as it's been for the last 10. I'll put it that way.
I don't think anything. I don't think there's a single easy money method out there. They just don't exist. But at times, they appear to exist. It's an illusion. You think they're there, but they're not. They eventually end up going the way of Bitcoin.
That's still around? Barely.
Let's look at it.
How about the one where
this is Wednesday. This is Wednesday.
Celsius. That's 22nd. My new favorite. Temperature's going down with Celsius, apparently.
Oh, way no. Down. He did it again. Now, see, here's the thing is that, Bitcoin on Saturday
was under 20, right?
Was under 18. Wow. It got down into the 17,000 range. Then a couple of days ago, got back up to buried about 21,
yep.
And now it's back right down to 20. It's at 21.89.
And somebody wrote a long note to you criticizing you about your criticism of not Bitcoin but of cryptocurrencies.
Because people have too much invested. They have too much money that they've gambled on cryptocurrencies. They have to defend it. And Celsius, by the way, your friend, the Celsius people have their own cryptocurrency.
You got to read that story. You want to read a story. Wow.
One year ago, it was $6.92 a coin.
Yeah, how much?
In July of 2021. Just last week, it got down to 16 cents.
But you can't get it. Can't get your money,
and
right?
No, this is just their cryptocurrency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's back up to 94 Ooh. Cents, but that is an 82% decline
and
over the course of the year.
They promised like 30 to 50% yields and turned out that was hard to maintain. Shocking.
Hard to maintain?
I mean, how do you not pay out 30 to 50%? Come on, man. Check the box here, dude. Send me my money.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's now been shut down.
Again, let me just... and I know this is not what all of you want to hear. You all want to hear
how do I get
magic
rich
in the air.
No risk, Don. Come
there
on.
There is no such thing as a 30% average annual return on anything. Period. End of story. You're dreaming. Who did they think was going to pay more than that to borrow money? Anyway. Time to put this thing to bed.
It needs to be.
Needs a nap.
Yeah. Not unlike us.
I am Don McDonald. I think we forgot to mention that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's introduce ourselves here at the end.
Thank you.
I'm Don McDonald. That's Tom Cock. We hang out pretty much every day, except, by the way, over the next couple of months, I am actually going to take some vacation days, which I have not. I've done shows pretty much live nonstop for a billion years.
I think it's billion plus, actually, at this point.
Since the trilobites ruled the world.
So you're actually going to be a few days without a podcast? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. Then we'll be more popular when we come back, because the absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
So there will actually be some days without. Even a best of.
Whoa.
Just nothing.
Wow.
There will be a void in people's lives. I'm just warning you in advance. Find something to fill the time.
Oh.
You know, you can listen to Rich Dad, Poor Dad podcasts.
Still available.
Rich Dad. They're still out there. It's so funny because he goes into these podcasting hiati, which is hiatus in plural. I just decided it was. And there have been times when he's been like months and months and months without them. Just doesn't do any. And yet he remains one of the top podcasts.
And yet he remains one of the best sellers with those silly books that he keeps writing that I think are the same thing over and over again, but people keep buying them. So
how is that possible?
Go ahead. Keep reading, I guess. But no, I don't like
the Rich Dad radio show. And he's been doing the Rich Dad radio show for a really, really long time. I mean, I can't, let's see, I'm looking back just to see how long. And he only has like 350 episodes.
We have almost 1,000.
We have about 1,000 right now.
We're at like 987 or something. So,
yeah. If you go on your favorite podcast service to Talking Real Money.
And there are
money,
a few people, by the way, and bless you, who have listened to every one. They'll send me a note from time to time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's very kind. Thank you.
Unbelievable. Let's see. How many do we have now? 985.
All right. We're right there. I was counting the one we did yesterday. It's 86. This would be 987.
No, this is 986.
We did tomorrow yesterday's.
No, we did.
This is so confusing.
I know. Okay. I'm trying to throw your life off.
Doesn't take much, as you know. Yeah. So
it's a time warp thing.
I got it. Whatever.
All right.
I just
show up. We were ending it, and then we got distracted
again.
Should
just go ahead and pull the plug.
Shiny objects, Tom. Look. Woo. We're talking... real money. There
Where's
he goes.
My Bitcoin? Come on.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time. So please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.